As I get older, those kind of things may happen more and more, so
Amen.
Just assume that you're supposed to just go with the flow, okay? last year, those of you who remember, I preached a sermon on Easter called We're Easter People, and our song is Alleluia. And this year, I really want to just do part two and follow up. And so this is, again, the title of this sermon is We Are Easter People, and our chorus or our song is Alleluia. Gary, would you stand and pray for me?
Sure. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word to us. And I just ask for your anointing now on your word, Bishop. Lord, that you would give spiritual words, spiritual thoughts, and anoint our hearts for us to see. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of the things I quoted to you last year was this statement, and it's really sort of sums up so much for me when we talk about Easter and Easter season, what Easter reminds us of. Because, of course, as Christians, every day we celebrate the reality of Easter. The wonder of liturgical calendar is that it gives us opportunities to stop and really focus in on certain things and God speak to us specifically. We celebrate God, we worship God through time. And one of the things that we said last year is that I said that this statement, it's a C.S. Lewis statement. Lewis said, I believe in the resurrection of Christ, just like I believe that the sun is risen, not just because I can see it, but because by it I can see everything else. And that's reality. And that it's impossible to interpret reality and to interpret history, to interpret anything apart from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's impossible for us to interpret our days. It's impossible for us to interpret the pressures and the stresses of our life apart from the resurrection. And so I know that when I watch TV, I don't watch regular TV normally. I just have never gotten into that rhythm. And people are talking about TV programs all the time. And I got if they're riding on a horse, or if they're carrying a ball, or if it's old and has a happy ending, that's usually what I'll watch. And because I believe in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God has happy endings, and so I like to watch things with happy endings. And so one of the things they'll do, I don't know if it's AMC or Turner Classic Movies, but they have this series they call The Essentials, which is just the classic movies, certain classic movies. They'll have different guests who will present different, what they call The Essentials movies. So I guess, and what I'm going to share with you this morning, I think, are essentials in light of the resurrection, in light of how it should impact our daily lives. So this isn't meant to be a big theological sermon. Again, it's just part two of us owning the fact that we are Easter people. That is our identity. And everything that we do in life, every decision that we make in life, every response and reaction to life should be in light of the fact that Jesus has risen. It makes everything different. It changes everything. Jesus did say, I make all things new. And therefore, we see all things new as new creations. It even says in Scripture, because we're born again, we're able to see the kingdom, that we've been given new eyes to be able to see. And yet, sad reality is that most people who are born again, or many people anyway, don't live as if they're Easter people. They don't live and respond to life in light of the fact that Christ has risen. Instead, we're governed by our neurosis and our sin and the way people behave around us, the way governments behave around us and the secular world around us. That's unfortunate because we're supposed to live risen lives. We've been seated in the heavenly places with Christ, and there should be something different about us. For me, Easter is about overcoming. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, well, I begin in verse 32, behold, an hour is coming, has already come, for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, or be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That great statement that Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And Easter is about the fact that Jesus overcame the worst the world had to offer. The temptation, the fallenness, and the brokenness of the world, and in the end, the death that the world has to offer. And that Jesus overcame. And he was an overcomer. He says, be of good cheer in light of the fact that I have overcome. Jesus couldn't be stopped in life. Jesus was tenacious in his progression towards fulfilling his destiny and doing God's will. And nothing in life, no test, no temptation, no obstacle, no situation, kept him from moving forward. He was an overcomer. And even death didn't stop him from fulfilling his purpose and accomplishing his destiny. As we said Friday night, Jesus didn't just suffer death. Primarily, Jesus accomplished death. He moved towards that. No one can stop him. And I've said to you before last year that we always have these images, and even in the movie, The Passion, it has this image of Satan sort of in the background mocking Christ because he believes that Christ is being defeated, and then there's the shock at the end when he finds out that he was defeated. I don't believe that to be true at all. I believe he understood exactly what Jesus was accomplishing. And I believe every step on the Via Della Rosa, as he mocked him and as people spit on him, the scourging, all of that was to get Jesus to stop. To stop this progressive movement towards fulfilling the purposes of God. To stop him from being the overcomer in the purposes of God and the destiny of God that God called him to be. If you remember not the vision, but the experience coming home a couple weeks ago from Charlotte. And as I went through the really bad hailstorm and it dented my car all up. And those of you who didn't hear about it, it's hailstorm about the size of the golf ball, sometimes bigger. And I was stuck in six lanes coming out of Charlotte, three lanes on our side. And it sounded like people were throwing rocks at my car from heaven. And I kept thinking my windshield would bust. And if it did, I knew I wouldn't get home. And I'd been gone for almost 3 weeks, and I couldn't wait to get home. I was pushing towards a place, a destiny. And as I said to you before, the end result of it is that I did get home. My car's dented up, but it's going to get all fixed, and it's going to look better than it did before. That prophetically, as you're moving towards the purposes of God, as you're desperate to arrive at God's will, it's like I was desperate to get home, the enemy will throw hell storms, H-E-L-L, at you. And sometimes it'll feel like you won't get to where you're desperate to be in the things of God and the purposes of God. But you will get there if you just keep moving. You may be dented up by the time you get there, but God has an insurance plan and He'll make all things new. And when it's all said and done, it'll look better. You'll look better. You'll be better than you were when you started. But the key, as I said to you before, I learned years ago that in a storm, keep moving, even if it's 5 miles an hour. Because if it's coming at me, I'm going away from it, and the more I keep moving, the sooner I'm going to get out of it. Jesus kept moving. He couldn't be stopped. He was an overcomer. He says he overcame the world. Easter people are overcomers. In this scripture in John 16, he says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. There are going to be hell storms. The enemy is going to throw stuff at you to stop you, to cause you to lose hope. He says, in this world you'll have hell storms, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. As if somehow his overcoming the world causes me to be of good cheer and to have peace in a world where he's just promised me I'm going to have tribulation and hailstorm. That somehow him being an overcomer matters in my life. That I can know peace and I can know courage or good cheer even in tribulation. So he invites me somehow to participate in being an overcomer. And the reality is, as you know, as you read Romans 6, other places in the New Testament, somehow mystically, those of us who are believers, we were crucified with Him, we were buried with Him, we have been raised up with Him, and we share newness of life, and of course, we're in union with our Christ, the overcomer. In 1 John, chapter 5, he says this, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but the one who has faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Listen to what a few verses in Revelation says, promises to overcomers. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He who overcomes, to him I will give the hidden manna. And I'll give him a white stone and a new name written on it. And he who overcomes, and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. His name will be in the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He who overcomes, I will make as a pillar in the temple of God. And he who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. We don't have time to look at all that. Maybe we'll do that some during our Easter season, because we know that Easter isn't just a day. We're going to have a 50-day celebration of the risen Christ liturgically. And these aren't all futuristic promises, but those are pretty amazing promises about hidden manna and a new name, being a pillar, having stability in my life, authority, sitting with him on the throne. It's remarkable things to what it means to be an overcomer. And it says in that 1 John passage that we're called to be overcomers. Even though the fact is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that doesn't automatically make any of us overcomers. It creates the potential. It's an open door invitation. Those who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior don't have a chance. They are constantly being overcome and overwhelmed and are victims of situations, circumstances, and people. But those of us who are Christians, those of us who experience new birth, we're invited into union with Christ our overcomer and to be overcomers ourselves. But just the fact that we're Christians and that Jesus is risen from the dead doesn't automatically guarantee that you and I will live the life of an overcomer. That passage again in 1 John that I read to you said, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's hope that causes you and I to be overcomers. Hope. It's something that people in the world don't have. And sadly, something that too many people in the church don't walk in. See, what the resurrection does for us doesn't just provide an invitation to be overcomers, but gives us the hope that's necessary to be an overcomer. Because it's walking in hope that makes us overcomers. Remember again what hope is. Hope isn't the secular word, I'm wishing for something. That's likely, might happen, might not happen, but I'm wishing for it. The word hope, the very definition of that word means a confident expectation. That's different. It's a divine optimism. It's a holy optimism. It's the thing that can cause a person to rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Even though everything around them may be falling apart. That there's something on the inside of them that's overcoming, that keeps moving, that the hell storm won't stop, that causes them to get to the place and the purposes of God in their own life and fulfill God's will. Those Christians spend the time in the Christian life on the journey, on the side of the road, repairing things. Constantly. And this church is called to be a healing center. But Christianity isn't a hurting center. It's a healing center. And yet so many of us spend our time on the side of the road just hurting after hurting after hurting, and being overcome by what people do, what happens to us, what circumstances bring. That's how the world lives. I thought Jesus was risen. I thought we belonged to Him. I thought we were raised up with Him. Called to be overcomers, not to constantly be overcome. This is a familiar passage of Scripture that probably, I guess, over the years, I've been doing this for a while, is my favorite Easter Scripture. This is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the Lord God, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Then he goes on later in his passage and talks about the expecting tribulations in this world. But he builds the whole foundation of that, is that we have a living hope. We're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, you and I have a living hope. A hope that's breathing. It's alive. It's pulsating. And it's that living hope that causes me to walk in union with Christ as an overcomer. And to live my life as an overcomer. Let me just give you some of the essentials then. Okay? Easter people are overcomers because they live in the hope that no matter the challenge, the temptation, or the situation, the one who overcame is not just with them, but He lives in them, risen from the dead. And He's faced death and conquered it, and I'll never face anything in this life stronger than death. And because that overcomer lives in me, I can be of good cheer. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe, that in accordance with the workings of His strength, of His might, of which He brought about in Christ Jesus when He raised Him from the dead. In other words, Paul says he's praying that the church in Ephesus would come to understand the power of God that's working in their life, and it's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. That you were crucified with Him, buried with Him, and raised up with Him. And the risen Jesus is not just with you, but by the Holy Spirit He lives in you. And Easter people live in hope. And they're overcomers because they realize that no matter the temptation, no matter the situation, no matter the pressure and the stress of life, the one who overcame lives in them. I can face anything. It's here in the everyday stresses and temptations and relationships that make up our everyday lives that we sing our Alleluia chorus. Because we're Easter people. Easter people are overcomers because they live a living hope, a pulsating hope, that He, Jesus, does what He said He does. He makes all things new. Again, that's my favorite part of that movie, The Passion of Christ. As he's walking the Via della Rosa, and his mother goes to him and comforts him. Instead, he comforts her. And she's watching her boy be tormented and tortured. In the movie, she remembers him as a little boy and fallen, and as a mother, she'd rush to him. Because she wouldn't look at him. She couldn't bear the pain. And it caused her to look to him and run to him and go comfort him. And while she's trying to comfort him, he looks at her and comforts her and he says, see, mother, and it didn't look like it. See, mother, I make all things new. So it says in Revelation 21, Thursday night when we stayed all night long in prayer and vigil with Jesus. I mean, there are those times we sit with Christ, we pray to Him. But think about that Maundy Thursday vigil is we're actually praying with Him. We're entering in to suffering again. And the thing that kept ringing in my ear is that once Christ got past that great temptation, let this cup pass from me, and He finally said, not my will, but yours be done. I think the thing that drove Him, what He thought again and again was, Lord, we're going to make all things new. As He thought about the suffering, the brutality and the pain, and then finally the separation for a few hours from His Father, I think He was thinking, we're going to make all things new. Easter people are overcomers because they live in the hope that He makes all things new. And each day is a new beginning. And in those places where I don't trust Him, and I forget to trust Him, where I don't obey Him, and in my fallenness and in my sin, I remember that He makes all things new. That every day is a new beginning. That every day there's hope. That even if it's the 11th hour, I can get up and fulfill my destiny in the time I have left. Because He makes all things new. He prophesied in the Old Testament when He talked about His mercies being new every morning. He accomplished it in His resurrection. That even in my fallenness, and it affects my relationship with others, if it's true about me, it's true about all the people around me. In their sin and in their fallenness, I can have hope for them because Jesus makes all things new. Mother Teresa used to say over and over again to her sisters who worked in Calcutta in those horrible streets, in those horrible conditions. She said, "Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here yet. We only have today. So let's begin again." That's what people, Easter people, believe. It's amazing. It's the gospel. It's here, facing our failure and our sin. It's here, staring at other people's failure and their sin, that we sing our Alleluia chorus. There's a test of whether you believe that Jesus is who He says He is. In your sin, in your spiritual gutter that you've visited time and time again, can there you sing hallelujah because Jesus is risen? That's certainly one of the essentials. Easter people are overcomers because they have hope that Jesus causes all things to work together for good. And that even when it seems like everything turned out wrong and nothing turned out like you thought it was going to turn out or prayed for it to turn out, it's here. In the midst of disappointment and confusion that we sing our Alleluia chorus. Because it's here we know that His death looked like failure to so many around Him. They thought they were finished with Him. The high priest and the Jews and the Romans thought they were finally finished with Him. Jesus hung on the cross in light of the fact that He knew that they thought they were finished with Him. And Jesus is saying, "It's finished, but it's not Me that's finished. It's the power and the plans of the enemy that are finished." And that even when it seems like everything's gone wrong and nothing's turned out the way you thought it was going to turn out, behind the scenes, He's weaving it all together. And that you'll know that one day it'll all sum up Jesus. That's what it says in Ephesians. So why not go ahead then? Why wait to see it? Why not see it in light of the resurrection? Why not, standing in the midst of the disappointment and the confusion, let your chorus be Alleluia? Because we're Easter people. Easter people are overcomers because they have a living and pulsating hope even when they find themselves in a tomb. We talked about this the other night. Here, when Jesus was buried after His mother took Him and He was buried, and you think about Christ was laid in the tomb, and there are times we find ourselves like in a tomb, the darkest moments of our life, where our movements have now been hindered. There's like this gazillion pound stone in front of there's no way out. It seems totally hopeless. We want to quit and give up. It's those woe is me moments. It's so dark you can't see anything, and it's scary in those dark places. It's when all hope of getting out is totally lost. It's there. We remember that this is His specialty. This is what He's most famous for. This is when the drama of resurrection is starting to build. And there's this holy pressure in the spiritual realm God will keep His promises. If He has to bring an earthquake and remove a stone that can't be moved, it's there in the darkest hour where the greatest life is birthed. It's there, just like we said the other night, that His first miracle and His last one were the same. The wedding in Cana, the party was over, and then Jesus saved the best for last. And just like in a tomb, when it seems like the party's over, and there feels like there's no hope, and there's no way out, and it's the darkest, scariest thing you've ever been through, and everything the enemy's been whispering in your ear is true, it's not going to be okay. God isn't going to keep His word. It's there. It's there. That of our darkest times, alleluia is our chorus. Because we're Easter people, and we know that the darkest moment is pregnant with the greatest light, and it's just on the other side. It's just about to happen. This is His specialty. He set it up like this. This is His masterpiece. Resurrection is what He's most famous for. It's just about to happen. We find ourselves like Paul in the Philippian jail. In Acts chapter 16, it says about Paul that they stripped he and Barnabas of their clothes, and they beat them with rods. You know how horrible that is. Beat them with rods and then threw them in the lower jail, the darkest, deep, wet rats, bugs. Now they're beaten with rods, with reeds and rods. So they're bleeding, bruised, sore. I mean, the pain must have been unbelievable. And yet, and they put them in shackles. You can't be any more hopeless than that. You can't get any darker than that. Not only was it scary, it was impossible. It was Paul and Silas, I'm sorry. When they inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And having received such a command, they threw them into the inner prison, fastened their feet with stocks, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. They were Easter people. They knew that Jesus was risen. Paul encountered Him in the road. They were Easter people. They had a living, pulsating hope. And it says, and suddenly there came a great earthquake. The foundation of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. You know that in your darkest hour, in your inner prison, when you feel like you've been beaten and shackled and chained and it's scariest, you know that you're living on the verge of a suddenly, of a holy earthquake, of a rolling away the stone. And it's there where we discover, are we really Easter people? And is alleluia going to be our chorus there? It's easy to sing alleluia when everything that my small mind and your small mind thinks are blessings happen to us. God has greater purposes that transcend our logic. Why do we always have to wait to see it on the other side? And then finally, of course, the great essential is that Easter people are overcomers because they have living hope even when they're facing death itself. Hebrews chapter 2 says, since then the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same. And through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those from who through fear of death we're subject to slavery all of our lives. How often does the fear of death prevent us from living the adventure God's called us to live? But Easter people have hope even when facing what seems to be the biggest thing the world can throw at you, death. You see, at our house this time of year, we always have gazillion bumblebees that fly all around right under my driveway. So when you pull in, there's just bumblebees everywhere. Henry tries to catch him. One of these days, Henry's going to regret catching one of those bumblebees. He's going to find out they bite worse than he does. And he gets really close. But what if, and so you try to avoid them, and it's a little sketchy when they're buzzing around your head, you know, and you move fast. But what if I knew they had no sting? What if I knew their stingers were removed? Then they're just like June bugs. I'm not going to move fast at all. I'm going to grasp them. They're not going to grasp me. I'm in control of them. They're not in control of me. They're not overcoming me. I'm overcoming them. They've got nothing to offer that would cause me fear. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Easter people have living hope even when facing death because there's no sting in it. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's the worst the world has to offer. Here, even at our last breath, we break out into our chorus, Alleluia, Alleluia. 1 John chapter 5 says this frightening thing about the world, people who aren't Christians. We know that we're of God, and the whole world lies under the control, the power of the evil one. That's amazing. The whole world are prisoners to the devil. The whole world. You know what it says in Zechariah? It says, as for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I have set your prisoners free from the bottomless pit. Return to the stronghold, O prisoners of hope. This very day I'm declaring that I will restore double to you. Prisoners of hope. 1 John says the whole world are prisoners to the enemy of our souls. The one who's come to kill, steal, and destroy. The whole world, everyone in the world who's not a Christian is a prisoner to the devil. But he says here that Easter people are prisoners too. But we're a different kind of prisoner. We're a prisoner of hope. And hallelujah is our song. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.